Turn with us just a few moments in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. 1 John, chapter number 2. Father, we want to thank you today for the men and women that have fought for the welfare and the freedom of this great nation. Lord, this great nation is on shaky ground today because they've turned their back on the God of this Bible. I pray you'd send revival to America. Now is this time, there's many young ladies at home today without their husband. There's many young men today at home without their wives. There's many mom and daddies without their child, grandparents without their grandchildren. They paid the price that we could do what we're doing here today. The Lord, as Brother Mark has already said in his prayer this morning, I thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus gave for the sins of this world. For people like me that knew nothing about you, but with your kindness and compassion, you drew me by the hand of mercy. And I want to thank you that I'm eternally saved this morning. Thank you, heaven's my home. Help us now in the preaching of the Word of God today. Would you strengthen our church? Would you challenge our lives? Help us in our homes and our nation. And we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 1 John. John is writing here. If you'd stand with us, we're going to read a few verses this morning. But John is writing here as the aged apostle. God used John to do many great things. He was the disciple in whom Jesus loved. Isn't that a statement? John had his ear on the Lord's breast, listening to the heart of God. Jesus even entrusted him at Calvary to take home his mother to see about her. John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of the Revelation on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's day. But here in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we find in this text that he writes to the church family. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, a representative or a go-between, who is Jesus Christ, with the Father. And he tells everybody who that is, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation. This word simply means the atonement. He paid the price for our sins, for me and you. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Christ died for everybody. And hereby we do know that we know Him. Watch this. If we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now here's the word, family term, brethren. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. Verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the word of God. Wednesday night, we preached on the thought out of this text on the little children. But this morning, I'm interested in verse 13 and 14, where he says, I write unto you, fathers. Fathers. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, in this text, I want you to really focus on 13 and 14, all I'm going to deal with this morning. But I want you to notice there is the expression of the Father. An expression of the Father. He talked of the Father. He talked of the young men. And he talked of the little children. Now this expression of the Father. You Bible students that like the Word of God. You ever notice this? Note, we see the duplication of the text. The duplication of the text. He writes something that got my attention. For in verse number 13, look how he starts this phrase out. I write unto you, fathers. Then in verse 14, he starts it out different. No longer does he say, I write, but I have written unto you, fathers. Preacher, what is the concept of that text there? You're talking about the duplication of the text. Why did he say that? Because you'll notice not only did he say that I write unto you, but I've written. He said, the things I said the first time, I'm going to say it the second time. And I meant it the first time, and I mean it the second time. The Word of God is never changing. Yesterday, Jesus, yesterday, today, and forevermore. You hear a lot of men, they'll make a phrase or a statement, and they'll retract that statement. But John said, look a here, I've got nothing to retract. Not only do I write, but I have written. And he wrote the same thing. And can I tell you, the Word of God is never changing this morning. We live in an era of time when men will make statements. They'll make a statement on Twitter, and they'll retract that statement. When the populace has really looked into what they said and they retracted that statement. But John said, honey, you look there in both verses. I've got nothing to apologize about. What I've done wrote, now I'm writing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus is never changing. The Word of God is never changing. So we see this expression of the fathers. We see this duplication of the text. But then secondly, notice the distinction of the text. I elaborated on this Wednesday night. Here, the Lord uses a metaphor. A metaphor, many times, it brings things down so we can understand it. Jesus used a metaphor about a candle as a hen. He's used many metaphors that we may relate to see what the meaning is. But in this distinction of this text, I want you to notice that he used this metaphor as human age. He talked to the Father. He talked about the young man and the little children. So he's using this metaphor, and he's using it as the human age, so we can relate to. In other words, he's saying there's three groups of people in the church. there are the fathers. There's the young men, and there are the little children. So it is in the pathway of life, that metaphor that he explains. You see, there's a time that we are little children. There's times we become middle-aged, and then we become older in the process in the age of life. In this metaphor, this distinction, you see, there is the springtime of our childhood. There's the summer of our youth. There's the autumn of our maturity. But there's also the winters of old age. Each of these seasons of life, they have its own joys, sorrows, weaknesses and temptations, and strengths. But the gospel has a message that is appropriate for each stage of life. Our Bible is the fix for everything this morning. And so here in this distinctions of the text, he uses this metaphor as the fathers, the young men, and the little children. Then he goes on, not only from the duplication of the text, not only on the distinction of the text, but he ends it with the description of the text. Look what he says in verse 13, and he says the same thing in 14. I write unto you fathers because you have known him. Look in verse 14. I've written unto you fathers because you have known him. I'm glad I know who he is this morning. And within this description of the text, he's telling the fathers of the church that ye have known him. God has proved himself to you as they sung those songs this morning. I began to ponder and to think of how God has proved himself to this church and how God has proved himself to me on through the years of life. God always proves himself. This morning, we see in this text of the fathers the expression of the fathers. Now, if he used this metaphor, it takes me to my second point. Not only the expression of the fathers, but I want us to look at the example of the fathers. Why would he use a metaphor of the age of life that we may realize what he's talking about? When these little children came down and done their giving this morning, wouldn't it have been something if all of them were solid gray-headed or bald? Wouldn't that look odd to you? So it is in God's family, in God's kingdom. He's writing that there ought to be a progression from little children to young men and to the fathers. In this day, in this hour, I'm glad we have all three in our church, but let me preach to you just a minute about the example of the Father. What is the Father? You say it's not Father's Day. It is this morning. The example of the Father. What do they do? What are the traits of the elder in the family of God? We're not talking about the world system. We're talking about in the family of God. Their fathers, their young men, and their little children. You ladies, you can put yourself in this focus this morning. You can realize that in this metaphor, it applies to male and female far as growing in the things of God. We've seen the expression of the Father. But now, let's talk real briefly about the example of the Father. Why would he use that text the same way twice and say the exact same thing about the Father? There's an example of the fathers. I want to say this. All fathers, spiritually, they're developed in grace. They're mature in character. They're decided in conviction. They're clear in statement. and they're accurate in judgments. These are not men that retract, retreat, or shuffle. Thank God for the fathers of the church that through years gone by, they are developed in grace. They're mature in character. They're decided in conviction. They're clear in statement, accurate in judgments. They neither retract, retreat, or shuffle. You know who they are and where they are. And we need them in the house of God in this day and this hour. You'll notice they are men that will not steer beyond it is written. When Jesus was facing in His great hour of temptation, there He faced the devil and He said, I want you to know it is written. Give us some church fathers that will not go beyond where it said, it is written. It is no day and no hour to compromise the Word of God, but to stand on how it's written in this day and this hour. The fathers of our faith. You see, they will not tempt eternal ruin by building upon the shifting quicksands of the hour. I want to say it again. They will not tempt eternal ruin by building upon the shifting quicksands of the hour. At this hour, there is a great need for an army of invincibles. Men that their word is their word. Their character is beyond reproach. They've grown in the things of God. They have great discipline about their lives. Dear Lord, give us fathers in the church. You'll notice in this example, the fathers of the church, listen real attentively at this statement. The fathers of the church are men of the heart who naturally care for the souls of others. It is upon the father. And listen, young men, because I'm going to preach a sermon on young men the next time I preach, if the Lord will let me. But I want you to listen. The fathers of the church are men of the heart who naturally care for the souls of others. It is upon the father that the weight of the household falls. He goes forth in his daily labor and returns at night with the fruits of his toils for simply the support of the household. It is not for himself that he lives, but for the dear family in which is gathered about him. His heart has grown larger than when he was a child or a young man. For now his heart beats for the entire household. The children don't work for the father, but the fathers for the children. They are men and women of passion, position, and persuasion. And may the God of this Bible grow the young men at Liberty Baptist Church into the fathers of the faith. They are the backbone of the church. They are those that you can call when you're hurting and they'll not judge you. They are those that you can confide in and they'll not tell on you at the Piggly Wiggly. They are those that know about the God of glory and the Lord Jesus Christ. They know about the Spirit of God and the workings of the Holy Ghost. They know what is written, and they will not mess with the sacred words that our Savior penned down to get us to the heaven where He lives and to get us to get away from hell where the devil lives this morning. Give us fathers in the church that hold things together. You remember Mother's Day, I preached on a mother that say, not so. They wanted to name John Zacharias. She said, not so. Give us some fathers in the church with the mothers that say, not so. We're not changing our Bible here. We're not changing our standards here. Jesus is the Son of God. I noticed this morning on a huge platform, one of the pastors in America that draws a huge crowd, he has denied on public stage that Jesus is the Son of God. Give us fathers that will say, not so. It's written in the Word of God, and that's where we're standing till Jesus comes. You know why churches has become so liberal and compromised? I commend, and I say it publicly, I commend the people in the liberal United Methodist Church that has broke away from that heresy. I applaud them for the fathers and the young men standing and saying, it is written. Now, practicing open homosexuals can pastor churches. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Change Bibles. Change everything. Because of the winds of the world. I know it's not popular. But the fathers of the faith don't care about popularity. They're concerned about meeting the God that sits on His throne. That has entrusted us with truth in this hour. Give us fathers. There is the expression of the fathers. There is the examples of the fathers. But lastly, there is an expectance of the fathers. To our church fathers this morning at Liberty Baptist Church, to the church fathers that is listening even by ways of the internet today, I want to say, first of all, the expectance of the fathers is that they contend. Look in the book of Jude. Jude, verse number 3. Jude, turn to the right in your Bible. Jude, verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, here's our phrase, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. Fathers, if we don't contend for the faith, what hope do the little children have coming up in the church house? There's got to be some fathers that have backbone and say, listen, I realize we can change some things, but this Bible's the end of the story. We don't go beyond what is written. America has become soft. Soft. Feminine. Nothing's wrong anymore in America, but it is written. And we must stand on the Word of God. There's been times I've had to make decisions. Somebody's got to make decisions. They've not been popular. But I can tell you this, if it is written, it's the end of the story. There's no decision to make. It's already been decided. It's truth. And we stay with truth. I can hardly wait to preach to the young men. Oh, how we need you. I'm 61 years old. I'm in the fourth quarter of life. If I live 20 more years, I'll be 81. Some of y'all will hate that. I'm in the fourth quarter of life. There's no doubt. There's a metaphor for that. Who's going to take our church when the fathers are gone? You young men must rise up with a blood-stained banner and cry, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. There's a way to heaven. There's many roads to hell. Give us fathers. Give us young men. I think about one reason. You listen to me and listen real good. One of the reasons that America's in the mess that she's in this morning is because of the fathers. The fathers have turned their back on the God of this Bible. They no longer have the backbone as a saw log. When my grandpa raised me, what was going on in this nation? Are you kidding me? These old men would have rose up and said, you bunch of liberal thugs, you ain't doing this. You say, I don't like that. Bye. When they distort your children and turn them into freaks, God give us fathers that are stand. Stand in the homes and the churches and the nation. I've got grandchildren to look about. I've got your children to look about. And so do you. Fathers. The expression of the fathers, the example of the fathers, but lastly, the expectance of the fathers. We are expected to contend. Look what it says. You should earnestly contend for the faith. Isn't it a shame that America has killed 60 million babies? Isn't that a shame? We live in such a wicked society. But we need fathers. Will not dare go beyond what is written. The expectance of the fathers is to contend. Now, secondly, not only to contend, but to continue. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. I think about all the warriors that have crossed over to the other side. I think about the brother John Weathers, the brother Drivers. I'll never forget that morning, Brother John came right over there to that chair I sat in. That's what he said, Pastor, is there anything you need this week? I said, no, Brother John. He walked there. Many of you was here. God called him out of here on a church pew. And I've seen now through years and years how the fathers are crossing. And there's not many young men that's taken the role of the fathers. It's so sad. It's not only sad in America and it's caught up with America, but it's sad in the churches. We don't need unspiritual men trying to run the church, but we need spiritual men to assist in the church and say, look, folks, it is written. And the preacher's just not by himself when he takes a firm stand. We're with him. We're not behind him because that means you way back yonder. I'm with him. Contend. Continue. 1 Corinthians 15. Watch your Bible. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58. The expectance of the Father to contend, to continue. Underline it. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. I like this. Unmovable. That's not real popular. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look in Colossians 2 and 6. I love this. Closing Colossians 2 and 6. Turn to the right in your Bibles. Colossians 2 and verse number 6. As ye receive, therefore, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Preacher, what's the expectance of the fathers? It's to contend, it's to continue, and lastly, it is to complete. 2 Timothy 4. Verse number 6. Paul, the aged man, look what he says in this Bible. Church, if the Lord don't rapture us out of here, and unless anything really, really changes, when I draw my last breath, they're going to roll me down here. But I ain't going to be here. I would love for this word right here to be able to be read to complete. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I've kept the faith. To complete. Fathers, we need you at Liberty Baptist Church. Young men, we need you to become fathers at Liberty Baptist Church. And little children, we need you to become young men and then developed into fathers. Thank God I can look around here this morning and find some fathers. They're consistent. They're persuaded in their beliefs. And they're faithful. God, give us those men in our church house again. I appreciate you being here this morning. I want to say this. Miss Emily's going to come.